What's that? When I started the English, and you know, I'm a boy, you're a girl, that kind of very basic grammar. I was junior high in Seoul, Korea, and when the earth started crust, long time ago. I learned one thing very interesting, that you guys, American people, have a rather interesting last name. It has something to do with the occupation. And for example, like a stoner, mason, carpenter, so on. And of course, I learned that there is more to it in the first name. Also, there is a lot of meaning to it. And some of you might thinking that, what about your weird name? Does it have a meaning? Probably it has a meaning, but I didn't have enough curiosity to figure it out what the heck that means. Okay. In Korea, we put the family name first. So we put Kim Jun-ho. Actually, it should be one word. The way I write is one word. The first line is Korean lettering. And you say, that's weird. Well, to us, the alphabet was weird. This is Chinese lettering. Why Chinese? Korean culture is very much influenced by the ancient Chinese culture. So we use both characters. And you're thinking, no wonder why you're so weird. That's all right. When I became a naturalized American in around 1980, early 80s, I had the chance to change my name to American name for free. I should have changed to something easy like a John Smith. Because people butcher my name. You name it. I have all the variation of names. Just about anything in between. However, I said one thing to a lot of people. It doesn't matter how you pronounce it, as long as you spell my name correctly on my paycheck, I don't care. See, in Israel, in the Middle East, during that time, during the era Abraham was alive, and still, there's a lot of meaning in the names. Sometimes they don't put the name the child until the child is grown some time and they get to know this child's character. And we are going to find out about the name change. There's four different names that we are going to find this morning's study. And they are very important. But all four names are directing to the one thing, God's covenant for the human, especially Abraham. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 17 of Genesis, please. Genesis 17. And we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. You are God Almighty, who can do all things, who knows all things, who is everywhere. We are depending on God and you, who knows all things, who can do all things. And we're seeking your face, seeking your guidance, seeking your wisdom, that we may apply your truth in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, speaking on names, sometimes naming children can be quite cruel, don't you know? Don't you think? There was a couple who just married, and not very long after that, they realized they're going to have a child. And they realized it's going to be a son. And they named him Justin. And the child was born, and they will proudly call him Justin. By the way, their last name is Case. That's not a good name. Some people get it. Some people say, where are you going? Just in case? Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am, underline, Almighty God, please. Almighty God. It's important. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant, on the line there, please, between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Hebrew name, Almighty God, is El Shaddai. Some of you guys heard the word, and also you heard the song written by Amy Grant. It's a beautiful song. It is the first time occurred in the Bible that the word Almighty God is mentioned. It's Almighty God is mentioned in 48 times in Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's the equivalent word, Almighty God, it also appears in Greek translation. However, there is one portion in chapter 19 of Revelation, it says omnipotent. It's the same thing. Almighty God means all-powerful God. El Shaddai is, okay, the El is the first word. El is in Hebrew is God. What's Shaddai? It's literally can be translated mountain or breast. In the Hebrew word, the breast means the strength. Mountain is also strength. So God with the strength. So in proper translation, it should be all-powerful and all-sufficient God who can do anything and to meet all needs. Can you hear me in the back? Somehow it seems like I have to yell. Why would God come to Abram after 13 years of silence? And all of a sudden he hasn't shown up and he didn't talk to Abraham for 13 years. Now he's popping up and he's talking to him and telling him that he is mighty God. Because he's about to tell him that Abram is going to have a child within a year. How old is Abram at this point? He's 99, heading for 100. You know, when we hit the 50, as a matter of fact, I'm going to hit the 50 next year, and probably some of you guys will have a nasty attitude when wearing black and, you know, dressing, bringing the coffin into the church, that kind of thing. That's typical, because I did that to other people. What goes around comes around, right? Be careful, young lady. All right. So he's telling him that he will do all things. He can do all things. Even though he's 99 years old and his wife is 90 years old, God can bring this child. 10 years ago, when he was, when he was 85 years old, he had a child, Ishmael. But that was not a God-designated child. It was a fleshly designed child, fleshly designated child. So God wants to do the things that he wants to do, not what man prepared to do. Enoch and Noah walked with God. However, Abraham is walking before God. What does it mean, walking before God? He was walking in the knowledge of God, knowing that God is going to prepare this kind of thing. That means he is having a relationship with God. It is no wonder Abraham was called as a friend of God. If I'm your friend, I get to know your heart. If you are my friend, you get to know my heart. That's why he is known as he walked before God. The secret of the perfect relationship, perfect way to walk with God is knowing God in our heart. We must fall before him and give everything to him and present everything to him and follow him with all of our heart. There's no such a thing as holding back something when we follow him. The phrase, my covenant, I ask you on the line, is also very important. It's used 9 times in this chapter and it defines God's relationship with Abraham. See, God promised once again that Abraham will have a child at his old age, even though it's not possible in human idea. Now, we are going to read verse 3. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after, descendants after you. Also, I give to you, your descendant after you, the land in which you are stranger in all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. The word I will repeats here in this chapter for 12 times. He's promising, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, and this is my covenant, and that's showed up 9 times. To encourage Abram's faith, now God is telling him, your name is no longer father of many, but your name will be father of many nations. You know, it sounds like a nice thing to change a name. However, when you don't have any child at all, other than Ishmael, the other one who created, it's not a good thing to have that name, especially in Middle East culture. It's still in the Korean culture. Sometimes, let's say we all visit Korea, sometimes they can be quite nosy. They ask you about your family at the first meeting and what kinds of job you have, and then they go on to ask everything about you. And you're thinking, it's none of your stinking business. That's your style of thinking. But the Korean people and the Middle Eastern people, that is a polite way to get to know you. So if you ever go to the Asia, if somebody starts to ask you a lot of private questions, don't throw something at them. Be nice to them, answer them as much as you can. So they were asking him about, okay, what's your name? Think with me. What's your name? Abram, father of many. Oh, how many children you have? I don't have anyone. Okay, maybe then your wife is pregnant with about triplet. No, she's 75. And they were saying, huh? She's that old and your name is father of many? Oh, yeah, that will go well. And they left. About a year later, they come back. Oh, father of many, how many children you have? My name is no longer father of many. Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's a funny name for when you don't have any children. So what's your name? Father of many nation? Okay, did you get a few other wives? No. Still one wife. And she's 95 now, 90 years old by then. It didn't go well. It's almost like absurd. It's almost like impossible. That is a precise thing God has been waiting. God wanted this Abram's body to be dead as like a corpse, not capable. This is not the only time Bible shows us the name change happened. You remember the name change happened to the Jacob? His name is become what? Israel. Obedient to Holy to God. And how about the Simon? The fisherman Simon who followed God, followed Jesus. His name changed to what? Peter. Exactly. Guess whose name is going to be changed? If you're born again Christian, according to Revelation chapter 2, we all the overcomers will receive brand new name. We don't know. You don't know my name yet. When we get to heaven, I will have a brand new name. You will have a brand new name because we believed in God. Keep in mind, this Abram's descendant, God said that he will multiply many ways. Yes, Israeli people are descendants of Abraham. That's not the only descendant. Ishmael is also a descendant of Abraham. Ishmael is the ancestor of the Arab nation, correct? So now he has a descendant in Israel. He also has a descendant in Arab. That's not the only descendant he has. In chapter 25, we're going to get there. After Sarah died, his wife Sarah died, and Abram remarried. And out of her, he got the 4 sons. And it turned out to be a bunch of nations in the east side of the, I guess, east side of the Arab territory. Does this stop there? No, it doesn't stop there. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians, located in the New Testament, right after 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you got the handout Bible, there's a page number. We don't have page number? He didn't get the page number. Okay. You're fired. No, you didn't. You're not. I cannot afford to fire you. See, the problem with the, volunteer, you cannot fire them. You can, the servant, you can sell them, but you cannot fire them. Verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. In other words, those who are born again Christian, guess what? We have become spiritually sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentile by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So, not only the Israel, Arab nation, and the nations east side of Arab, and the Christians are become the descendants of Abraham. God's everlasting covenant is including everlasting possession. God gave this gigantic land, and that land should have been available for all these people, Israeli people. It's one thing for God to provide them the land, but it's a completely another thing for them to possess and enjoy it. There's a conditional promise. If you are faithful, if you obey me. Oh, I thought you guys had something special in the back. So the idea is that to enjoy the land God allowed them to have for the rest of their lives and the rest of their throughout the generation is the one if they obey God. Because they didn't obey God, they didn't enjoy this land. Let's continue in verse. Oh, by the way, that is the theme of the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendant after you throughout the generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep before me and between me and you and your descendant after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house and bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, the person shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. For the first time, God is allowing Abraham to do something to keep this covenant going. What is that? It's a circumcision. See, circumcision is not any ritual that people will do and receiving salvation or some sort of status. It's a covenant. It's a sign and a physical sign. God is probably commanding circumcision to the children at the eighth day because that's the word blood clotting agent is an optimum level. So a kid can have that circumcision procedure done and still not bleed to death. That is the time. Now, what is the main reason for this? My study is correct, this is the Hebrew nation, the only nation have a circumcision at the time. Also, it's a personal hygiene reason. However, unfortunately, throughout the centuries, this Hebrew people turned this trusting in the signs of the covenant more than the trusting in the God of the covenant. You follow me? They're starting to believe that somehow if they have a circumcision done, and that gives them the right to be in heaven. That doesn't. Let me put it in our term. Some of you guys are baptized. Some of you guys have not baptized. Baptism for a born-again Christian is important. However, it does not, I repeat, it does not save anyone. What does it save? The belief in Jesus Christ, because he died for us, and through his faith in Christ Jesus and admitting that we are sinners. And we believe that he died for our sin, and he rose again from the death and conquered the death, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and believe that Jesus Christ is our God. If you have that trust, if you have that belief, you will be saved, no matter what. However, if you're thinking that, well, that's nice, but I've been baptized when I was a kid, or I've been baptized, whatever, or I went to the church, that doesn't mean a thing to God. I cannot repeat it. I cannot emphasize enough to you. Some denominations say that if you are not baptized by our denomination, you will not go to heaven. Where do you find it in the Bible? I don't. People hold on to the ritual more than the God of the covenant. Trust God, not the sign, not the covenant itself. Covenant itself doesn't mean a thing unless you trust the one who made the covenant. Am I making sense to you guys? All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians is right after Philippians from the Galatians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. It reads, "In him," that is God, "you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, but putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through the faith in walking with God, walking of God, who raised him from the dead." A couple of weeks ago, we had a baptism in our church. I had the privilege to baptize the three people. And when the person is dying, not dying, when I put them under the water, that signifies, well, I could keep them there for a long time so he can die. And put them under water, that signifies death with Christ, identifying ourselves with the death with Jesus Christ. When I pull this person up from the water, that signifies the resurrecting with Christ. It's nothing more than symbolism. I highly recommend all the Christians, if you haven't been baptized, be baptized. Because it's identification with Jesus Christ. If you are thinking that baptism has anything to do with your salvation, forget it. As of this moment, forget it. Baptism will not save you. If that is the case, the person on the cross next to Jesus Christ, the thief on the cross, that poor guy was kind of stuck. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't get baptized. He couldn't be, as far as I know, he was not speaking in tongue or anything. He was not part of any denomination. To be honest, he was non-denomination. Because at the time, there was no denominations. He simply believed in Jesus Christ as a king, as God. That was good enough for him. Because Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise today." Not after you got baptized, after you make yourself way up to the heaven. No, you will be with me. Let's continue in verse 15. "Then God said to the Abraham, 'As for the Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai. Sarah shall be her name.'" On the line, Sarah, please. This is the third name we are looking into. "And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. The kings of people shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall a Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" By the way, if you have a name, Sarah, that means a princess. I know there is a couple Sarahs in our church. We must not minimize the position of Sarah. It's very important. Yes, she has a fault just like Abraham. But she is the one who hold the position. She is the one who trusted in God to bring this child. She is not only the mother of Jewish people, also she is the example of the Christian wives to their husband. She treated Abraham in proper way as she did it unto the Lord. And, guys, and you're thinking, see, she submitted to her husband. tend to remember that submitting portion very well, but they forget that submitting to one another in another verse. Respecting one another. Please remember to treat your wife as she is the prince and princess in the Lord. Motherhood is very important, is highly esteemed. And birth of a child should be received with a joy from and as a gift from God. How tragic is that we turn the womb to the tomb and the starting point of life as a Holocaust through the abortion. A million babies have been killed through the abortion in a year, every year. A million babies. If the gun killed that many people, they will literally ban all the firearms from the people's hands. If the alcohol killed that million people, they will ban all alcohol. But they choose not to ban this abortion. We're going to talk more about that thing throughout the chapters. But remember this, abortion is not an answer. Exception of, there's a couple reasons. When you become a victim of the rape or incest, or when the mother is in mother's life is in danger. Other than that, I don't see any reason for abortion. And as a matter of fact, some of the ladies who are courageous, who were raped, they still bring forth their child and give their child to the adoption. That's courageous things to do. Now, listen carefully for the ladies. I don't know where you are. I don't know what kind of background you have. Listen carefully, please. If you had abortion, you ask God to forgive you. God has forgiven you. Put it away. Don't dwell on it. Okay? Listen to me, please. God has forgiven you. Don't dwell on it. There's nothing you can do for the past what happened. But there's something you can do for the future. You can talk to another lady or another young girl who is considering abortion. Tell them not to. Because life is precious in the sight of God. Did you get that? Don't let the past bother you. Don't cling on to the past. Verse 18. Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife shall bear your son, and you shall call his name Isaac." This is the fourth name we are going to look at. "I will establish my covenant with you for an everlasting covenant with his descendant after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. First baby in the Bible named before his birth was Ishmael, and the second one is Isaac, which means laughter, because the father and mother were laughing at the idea that they're going to have a child at that old age. From human point of view, we can understand why Abraham was asking God to bless this child Ishmael. Of course, he's his son. For 13 years, he was seeing this child growing up. He loved him dearly. But the standpoint of the spiritual side, this is not God's appointed child. This is not God's designated child. This is human effort. Human tried to help God out. It was not God's power. Ishmael brought the dissension in the family, but Isaac brought the laughter. Laugh in the family. Whenever we try to do something with our own power, we will bring the jest upon ourselves. However, when we do it in the God's power, we'll bring the smile on God's face. This is a practical lesson we have to take. Verse 23. "So Abraham took the Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised in the flesh of their foreskin, and that very day, same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, an old man of his house, born in the house and bought with the money from the foreigner, was circumcised with him. Abraham's belief is complete. His obedience is complete and prompt. It's a kind of daring, in my opinion, because he remembered last couple chapters ago, he took over 300 people, his servant, and went after the four kings. And they are trained fighting men. At this time, these guys will be all out of commission for a few days. Literally, depending on God's mind and solidly believing that God will protect them. Listen carefully, please. Abraham did not pray whether this is a good option or not. He just simply did it. Let's make an application. Number one, a secret of the perfect walk before God is personal worship of God. Secret of a perfect walk before God is a personal worship of God. You cannot have the good relationship with God unless you worship Him from your heart. Second application, when God is preparing a bright future for you, do not cling to the things of the past. When God is preparing a bright future for you, do not cling on to the past. That is done and you cannot change anything. Whatever happened is happened. Move on. Let's go to the Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah is located in the Old Testament right before Jeremiah. Isaiah 55. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways of my ways higher than your ways, and my thought than your thought. God has a special plan for you. Cling on to His plan, His future for you, than the past. As I said before, if you had abortion and you ask God's forgiveness, it's been done. Move on. Use that experience to bring glory to God by telling other people not to do it again. Third application, when God speaks to us, the best thing is doing as we are told, not thinking it over. What am I talking about? When God speaks to your heart and to my heart, don't think that if there is any other option, that is the only option to follow. As a born-again Christian, when God speaks to us, that's the only option. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't call it as an option. It's the only way. Don't think it over. Just do it. You know, Nike says, just do it. Just like that. Just do it. Don't think it over. Simply follow Him with a complete obedience and trust Him for everything. Let's stand up and pray.